From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Lindsay Berlini with a quick look at state and local news. The Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation Board of Trustees voted 5-1 on Thursday to remove Executive Director Angela Rodell from the position, effective immediately. It's not clear what led to the change in leadership. There was no public discussion of why the board removed her before or after the vote. The board hasn't explained the decision. The vote came quickly after the board ended a closed session to discuss Rodell's annual performance review. Corporation Chief Financial Officer Valerie Mertz was appointed to serve as the acting executive director. Rodell had served as the head of the corporation since 2015. The fund grew from $51 billion to $81 billion during her tenure. In September, Rodell raised fundamental questions about whether the board was committed to the corporation's independence. She raised these questions after the State Revenue Commissioner, Lucinda Mahoney, a trustee, proposed cutting the amount paid to corporation staff in the annual budget. Rodell asked whether the board was committed to building the corporation's capacity to manage its investments using its own employees. She said an alternative would be to end the corporation as a separate body and move the permanent fund under the Department of Revenue. In Alaska, the lieutenant governor oversees elections, and the current holder of the office, Kevin Meyer, has been the focus of criticism from conservatives who are unhappy with how last year's election was conducted. Between now and June 1st, Governor Mike Dunleavy must decide whether or not to keep Meyer as his running mate. KTOO's and Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer says he's running to finish the work he started over the past 3 years.
You want to make sure that the lieutenant governor, the second in command, is able and willing and can step up without any difficulty. And I think my 30 years in elected office gives me that experience that so far I haven't seen any other lieutenant governor candidates have.
Meyer previously served in the state Senate and House, as well as the Anchorage Assembly. In the past, a lieutenant governor candidate's decision whether to seek election was theirs alone. In 2018, Meyer defeated five rivals for the Republican nomination to join a ticket with Dunleavy, who separately won the primary for governor. But under ballot measure 2, approved by voters last year, candidates for lieutenant governor will be running mates chosen by the candidates for governor. Governor Mike Dunleavy is facing that decision right now, while many conservatives who voted for the Dunleavy-Meyer ticket are deeply critical of how Meyer oversaw the 2020 election. One of them is Matanuska Susitna Borough resident Dave Maxwell. He's a retired electrician who prepared an online petition that calls for an audit of the last election with a focus on ballot measure 2.
Kevin Meyer and his staff have lost the trust, the faith. They have lost faith in terms of this citizenship. We don't trust them anymore.
He says there were many things wrong with the election. They include the state's use of Dominion Voting Systems machines to count ballots. Maxwell emphasizes that Alaskans told Meyer about their concerns with Dominion well before the election. And Maxwell wants an election audit to go deeper than the recount Meyer ordered of ballot measure 2. Maxwell wants investigators to take steps like examining whether the ballots that were counted were really ballots.
How about a forensic audit? We treat this thing like a crime scene, not just go back and just, well, 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry, that's not what we're looking for. We suspect a crime scene just like they have seen in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Florida, just to name a few.
Maxwell would like to see Dunleavy drop Meyer from the ticket, but he also says Dunleavy, who he once supported, should drop out of the election as well. He says there were many reasons, including Dunleavy's handling of COVID-19. Across the country, conservative supporters of former President Donald Trump have been demanding state and local audits of the 2020 ballots and questioning the use of Dominion machines. Nonpartisan voting experts say state officials overseeing elections are under attack nationally based on lies told by Trump and people surrounding him. David Becker heads the nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research based in Washington, D.C. Becker has done work for Alaska and other state governments on election accessibility and security.
The 2020 election, by any objective measure, was the most secure election
in American history and in every state's history.
He says Alaska had a very successful election and credited Meyer with handling it, as well as post-election concerns, in a fair way. Becker notes that investigators have disproved allegations against Dominion machines repeatedly. Meyer says every allegation made regarding Alaska's election has been investigated or is under investigation. He encourages those who have questions about the process to become election workers or observers. But he also says some concerns reflect misinformation voters have gotten.
We were geared up for the misinformation coming from international sources, but what has surprised me the most and probably caught me off guard the most was the misinformation we're getting from domestic sources.
Meyer says that Dominion machines were chosen based on the state procurement processes and that the machines aren't tied to the internet. And he notes that the recount of ballot measure 2 did not change the outcome. Regarding his relationship with the person who will decide whether he remains on the ticket, Meyer says that he and Dunleavy have a relationship that's typical for a lieutenant governor and governor. When asked whether Dunleavy has told him whether he plans to have him be his running mate, Meyer says this.
Oh, yes, yes. He has asked me, and I said yes. Things may happen between now and June 1st, but as of right now, we're running as a team.
In response to questions about Dunleavy's plans for the ticket, the governor and Meyer issued a joint statement on Wednesday saying that they will be making an announcement before the holidays. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And in other news, an affordable housing project of Juneau's domestic and sexual violence shelter got a $350,000 boost last month from the Rasmussen Foundation. AWARE Director Mandy Cole says that will pay for about a third of the project, 7 apartments on Douglas Island.
Smaller units, so efficiency units and one-bedroom units, are in constant demand. And AWARE already operates 12 units of transitional housing, and our longest wait list is always for the efficiency units.
The structure is already in place. Cole and AWARE now have to build the inside of the units. She says this is a part of a strategy called infill, where affordable housing is integrated into neighborhoods. Cole says she's seeking additional funding from other sources too, like the Alaska Mental Health Trust and the City and Borough of Juneau.
So we tried to find a way to build this facility with grant funding so that we could operate it, so it could support itself, and we could operate it at a very low cost to the tenants.
She says she hopes to have funding secured by construction season next year. If you are experiencing any harm, domestic or sexual violence, you can call AWARE's crisis line at 1-800-478-1090. And an Alaska crab boat captain, formerly on the reality TV show Deadliest Catch, has admitted to dealing heroin. 39-year-old Elliot Neese has agreed to plead guilty to one count of possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute. That's according to a plea agreement Neese signed and filed in federal court Monday, shortly after prosecutors charged him. And while the case just came to light this week, the charges stem from federal and state investigators searching Neese's home in December of 2019. According to the plea agreement, investigators found a little under 6 ounces of heroin, a small amount of methamphetamine, digital scales, a money counting machine, and more than $80,000 cash. The plea agreement says Neese admitted to investigators he was part of a large narcotics trafficking operation on the Kenai Peninsula. Some details of Neese's agreement with prosecutors remains under seal. At his sentencing, he faces between 5 and 40 years in prison. Neese appeared in 5 seasons of Deadliest Catch. Neese left the show during the shooting for season 11 in 2014 and later said he had gone to a rehab clinic. State records show that was the last year he held a crab fishing permit. Neese's attorney declined to comment on the case, as did federal prosecutors. A report says witnesses told investigators an amateur-built kit airplane made a steep turn and entered a downward spiral before crashing shortly after takeoff from a Kodiak airport. The National Transportation Safety Board released the preliminary report on the fatal November 7th crash, in which the pilot and the sole occupant of the plane died. According to the report, the plane was destined for a remote off-airport landing site. A friend of the pilot told investigators the intent was to haul gear that would be used for a hunting camp. The report says none of the witnesses who saw the plane spiral downward reported any unusual sounds from the engine. This is KTOO News.